The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, jackpots going on around us, people playing slots. How about that dude on Friday when we were here?
Oh, man. Yeah. And then you had run off to the airport. I met his buddy after the show who listens all the time. And he walked over. Man, that was a long story. I think that guy had been out and gambling for like a whole day or something.
That's why he was so subdued with all the money he was winning. He goes, I was like, hey, how much you win? He's like, yeah, this is a pain in the butt. Yeah,
I think the overall reaction it was like an old group of college friends around there. I don't think they had seen him for a while because he'd been out gambling by himself. And I don't know if they really knew if he was up or down money, even though we saw him hit multiple jackpots here.
It's like the Norm Macdonald story where like him and his buddies went the first time he went to Vegas, he and his buddies came and they said as soon as they got to the hotel, he disappeared for the entire weekend.
Never saw
him again till the flight back.
Yeah, that is crazy. And then Friday night, I ran into another couple of fans of the show over at the Cosmo, your stomping grounds. Ended up having several drinks over there with them. So, yeah, that was a good time with those boys. But, Brandon, yeah, Friday was running into people all over town that knew the show.
You a big star, man.
I guess.
That's always nice. We appreciate that. We appreciate it very much. This is just a few more tweets here before we get into MVP talk here. Trip Tepper, Campbell's decision to kick the field goal at the end of the first half was 100% correct. You lose the residual benefit of pinning the Niners if you go for it. Not going up 17 with 7 minutes left in the third quarter gave the Niners hope when they were hopeless. That's pretty much exactly how I felt about both. Roger Jones, that play by Vildor was actually amazing. When he took position over Ayuk, that play had near zero for success without a miracle. The fact he got flagged wrongly and they picked it up was interesting. Would they pick it up without a reception? We mentioned that as well. Russell Ambrose, Lamar looked like a mirror image of the first half of that game versus the Texans last week. Yeah.
Yep.
Michael Burns. Michael Lombardi said this morning on Follow the Money, said Lions lost the game when Campbell called timeout. He said, only thing you couldn't do. Gil and Michael Simpatico.
There you go.
The McButter Pants Chronicles.
I mean, it's like the one thing, though. Again, like you can't really argue that, right? Like it's the one thing. It's really hard to argue.
It's my biggest point. And literally, again, I'm on this. We're on a 5-way thread. It's me, Wishnev, Will Hill, Felica, and Fezzik. And oftentimes, it's usually for Todd's college basketball. We'll go on sidebars, and much of the chagrin of Fez, Will, and Felica, I'm sure, because they were two of those three guys were probably asleep already. I'm just explaining to Wishnev, I was like, you know,
those three guys probably asleep already.
I'll explain to Wishnev, I'm like, no, Todd, that was the error. That's the error you can't argue. And he wanted to get into the whole debate of, yeah, but well, then should they have kicked the field? At that point, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It almost doesn't matter. It's a footnote.
Because it goes back to your onside stats. You just, nobody recovers them. It's a different story. Even if it's, you know, if you're down a touchdown, right? And let's say they had no timeouts. If you think that's your best play to score, I don't care. Run your best play to score. But this is a different, you need multiple scores here. And to recover an onside kick, you need those timeouts.
Last two here, the McButter Pants Chronicles. First time listening, you guys are spot on and have great insight. Big fan already. Thank you, McButter Pants Chronicles.
Yeah, thank you.
Where can I get this publication? Tony Farmer, good call on mentioning Chiefs having the kicking advantage. As someone with a big futures position on San Francisco, Jake Moody terrifies me. This is why, again, on this show, we talk about kickers before the wild card round. We talk about them before the division round. And even before this last week, we mentioned, I was like, one game, Butker and Tucker's got the two good kickers. And the other one, Badgley and Moody. Badgley's a journeyman, and in the case of Moody, he's a rookie. You just don't know how he reacts in these situations. He had the low trajectory kick blocked last week, if you recall, after Shanahan botched the end of the first half. So, yeah, again, when you do this by T-chart, almost every check mark, category by category, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and yet it is the Niners' offense that is the most explosive unit on the field. And so there you have a Super Bowl. Now, having said that, MVP, I made three MVP bets yesterday before the championship games. I feel like, Kelly, that I do this every year that the Niners either get to the Super Bowl or flirt with it, that at some point, because of the nature of the Niners offense, this is in the, let me be clear, this is not in the Joe Montana, Steve Young, Colin Kaepernick years. I'm talking about in the present day Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy years, where you have a team in the Niners that is, that where the quarterback position is complemented by great, great skill position players. And so yesterday at MGM, and by the way, congratulations, Nevada, BetMGM with a new app. It was the first time I ever clapped on during the show, by the way.
Isn't it incredible?
So it's hold on, glorious. Let me just take a moment. The rest of you, the rest of this country, the apps that you've been able to use, my God.
Or, you know.
This is our first taste of one.
Well, to take it a step further, they just get to go like this on their computer.
Yeah, they get to do that. One step at a time.
Yeah.
One step at a time. Anyway, they had Super Bowl MVP odds up yesterday, and they had the best odds for what I was looking for. They had Christian McCaffrey at 6-1 before the games yesterday to win Super Bowl MVP. I grabbed that because I think that is an outstanding number. Grab that. They had Debo at 40-1. They had Kittle at 80-1. I grabbed a little some of that, too. Now, here's the thing. That, of course, is a trophy, Super Bowl MVP, that you have to remember the biggest deal is they vote on this on the fly, right? So all the other season-long awards that we talk about, there's weeks on end to stew over, to change your mind, talking about the voters, you know, oh, well, it's a way different criteria on this stuff. With this, one of the big reasons that it ultimately defaults to a quarterback is that all things being equal in a voter's mind, if you're late in the third quarter, you're like, should it be Patrick Mahomes or, you know, pick other player on Chiefs offense? It's almost always going to be Mahomes. Same thing could apply for Brock Purdy and the Niners. But if there is a Niners player that shines, and I think McCaffrey is the obvious choice, 6-1, I thought that was a great bet. You can still get him at about 4-1 in some shops. Shop around for all these, by the way. But those I have in pocket. Now, you've already made a Super Bowl bet. Now, of course, I have the Niners over Chiefs exact at 11-1 still.
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to pull up right now the, I feel like we talk about this every year, the Super Bowl MVP voting timing, right? Because I think they start to get, I'll check on this before the end of the show.
I believe
they get handed out in the third quarter, basically, or you're, I don't know if they actually hand out a ballot to me. I think it's probably just like, hey, email me whoever you want. I believe they're encouraged to have them in by the 2-minute warning, but everybody has the right to take the entirety of the game if they need.
What if the game's still in the ballot?
Right, exactly.
Hey, let me see your ballot, please.
Remember, this was a big deal. Like, I don't know, last year, the year before, or something. There was one of these years recently where that was a big deal over when the timing was. So yeah, current MVP odds.
What do you say the biggest controversy reason? Remember the one where Darrell Williams should have won the MVP and Patrick Mahomes got it. That's a great example of this.
Yeah.
We're just in the end, like I've been surprised by a lot of these MVPs. The fact that Cooper Kupp got it that one year was kind of surprising to me also.
Yeah. We've opened up Edelman won that one year, right? The low scoring Patriots won. Here I cashed out at like 50-1, I remember. That was great.
Yeah, last two non-quarterbacks. Let me see if I get the list here. Sorry.
Current odds on this, by the way, Mahomes plus 120, Brock Purdy plus 225, McCaffrey plus 475 over DraftKings.
See, that's still a good price.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's still a good price.
I mean, I think that's still very bettable. Kelsey 12-1, Debo 20-1, Pacheco 30-1, Rasheed Rice 50-1, everybody else 60-1 or longer.
57 Super Bowls, 32 have been quarterbacks.
Okay.
32 MVPs out of 57 have been quarterbacks.
Let's say this real quick about the Chiefs.
Please.
Is it only Mahomes if you're betting this market? Or is there a chance a Kelsey narrative takes over?
There's a Kelsey chance.
I think there's a chance, too.
There's a Kelsey chance.
Which the biggest thing, and I'll use as a pro tip today, I just think this is unlike most years, right, Gil, where you could substitute a Mahomes bet here for a Chiefs bet. Or at least add on to it. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far this year.
go to?
Like, basically, if you were going to say substitute Mahomes, betting Mahomes Super Bowl MVP instead of Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, I don't know that you can go that far this year.
The days of when we could say before the playoffs started, oh my God, look, Mahomes is this and the Chiefs are only this. You should bet this by proxy. Those days are over with him. The last, again, Cooper Kupp 2 years ago with the Rams, last quarterback not to win MVP. So, again, two of the last 5 years, because Edelman, as Kelly mentioned, 5 years ago for the Patriots, he won that in Super Bowl 53.
That seems so long ago, by the way. 5 years. That seems like 15 years ago.
Last defensive player, Vaughn Miller of the Broncos, back at Super Bowl 50.
Yep.
2 years before that, Malcolm Smith of the Seahawks in Super Bowl 48. Santonio Holmes, last wideout before that. So it happens where it's not a quarterback. It's just not the rule. So Brock Purdy, as Kelly just said, remains the short shot for Niners players at plus 225. I got to think McCaffrey at plus 475, pardon me, is still good value. The other two players I got, Debo is now down to 20-1. Kittle, 60-1. Ayuk, 65-1. Now, as far as like, would people, because someone brought this up, would you go Nick Bosa at 75-1? Think about a team that has that many offensive options plus Brock Purdy. The notion of Nick Bosa winning this award, how would that game script go for him to win? He would have to be so dominant on defense with like three sacks of Mahomes, and the Niners' offense would have to be spread out and muted.
Right. They'd have to win like a 13-7 game or something like that, where the
even if it was 20-7,
dominant.
But no one shined, right?
Yeah. There's a path.
So you did bet the Chiefs in this already, though?
I bet the Chiefs. We'll talk about it on the other side.
All right, we'll talk about it on the other side. Kelly's got a bet. He likes all those check marks on the Chiefs side. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get four free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and four more free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply.
Did you say steak?
You should do that at every one of these reads. You just be like, steak. It's reacting.
All right, here's another 90s movie for you. Did you ever catch, what was it, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo?
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
Is that Schneider?
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's his first name?
Rob Schneider.
Rob.
Yeah.
I was about to go with Roy for some reason. Rob Schneider's like, you made a mistake. One chick's like, did you say steak?
We get tweets of beating the book, Good Friend Shillionaire. Shout out to Big Beard Kelly Bidlin on recommending Ludwig Golfer by category. Was a sweat at times, but let's go.
Oh, you might want to double check that bet. I'm not sure I won.
Yeah, double check it. By the way, we had a fourth ridiculous long shot come in PGA.
Absurd. Barzon getting home. Yes. This weekend over at Torrey Pines.
Is it starting to annoy you, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, it's been, we were talking about NFL beginning of the show. It's just been like trading money back and forth the past few weeks with the book. NBA has been awesome. And then golf, it's just been like, here, please take all my money.
I'll tell you what, it continues to be spectacular. And hopefully we get this home.
So double check your book. Højgaard, I think he beat me for that bet. So maybe the actual name of the market might have been different enough that guy won, whoever tweeted that in, but double check that bet.
All of Kelly's golf picks, every pick from every host and guest on this network at VSiN.com/picks, pardon me, pays to be a subscriber. Tennis, just a great Australian Open. Yes, the Eagle Futures lost, but match by match, day by day, it was a big tournament for us, hitting huge dogs throughout. We had one pick at VSiN.com/picks in the overnight for subscribers. So far, so good, Kelly. It's happening while we're doing the show. Up a set, up a break.
Nice.
What could go wrong? Here on Katie Bolter.
Yeah, golf will be interesting this weekend. We transition over to Pebble this week. They've now made Pebble an elevated event, Gil, which I always loved watching Pebble Beach before in the past. But you never got, the past few years, you never got these strong, strong fields. So now you get Pebble with a really strong field. That will be fun to watch. I don't think you're going to see a 300-1 shot win this week, but man, this golf season's been crazy so far. And if you have won money betting golf, good on you.
Jason Stark, Gil has the Super Bowl ever kicked a pick'em. I think he means been a pick'em. And the answer per odds sharks, per odds shark, pardon me, is no. They had a couple minus ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've had a few, though, even in the past, 10 years of like around that.
Miami was a 1-point favorite. Their perfect season in Super Bowl VII when they beat Washington. Miami was a 1-point favorite. San Francisco was a 1-point favorite when they beat Cincinnati the first time that the two played. We had a 1-point spread when Seattle lost to New England in the Malcolm Butler game. Seattle was a 1-point favorite. And then Kansas City, when they beat San Francisco, they were a 1.5-point favorite.
What was that? What was that New England Rams spread?
New England minus 2.5.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking under field goal. Anything under a field goal. Those are tightly lined Super Bowls. Anything under a field goal.
Vegas regular James White not winning is the worst MVP snub, in my opinion. Yeah. That was a bad one. Matthew Mayberry, I got Pacheco before they played the Bills at 120-1 for Super Bowl MVP.
I like that.
How about that?
I like that.
I'm just Ron Burgundy-ing through these. I hope you're okay with it. Steven Vegas, future bets aside, we got the Super Bowl nobody asked for. It's basically 2017 Tom Brady versus 2002 Tom Brady with Taylor Swift and obvious WWE wannabe Travis Kelce layered in. Usher, please save us. How's it going with Usher? Wait. Getting Usher on Radio Row for us?
I was still trying out a couple. Was that implying that people are upset about this Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know what it was implying.
Do you feel that way?
I think it's a fantastic matchup.
Okay, me too.
I think it's the matchup, with apologies to the Detroit faithful who are wanting to get there for the first time. I get it. I actually think it's the matchup we all deserve. I think it's the best matchup you can have.
I think so.
Hank's best friend, wondering, since Mahomes isn't going to win any season awards, will he be eligible for comeback player of the year next season? he's eligible like anybody's eligible. I don't know if you mean he's going to win, but he's eligible. James O'Connor, if yesterday's Ravens-Chiefs game was the Super Bowl, who would have been the MVP? Kelce. He says. I think he's probably right about that. Yeah, Kelce would have been.
I think he is.
11 catches on 11 targets and a touchdown. I think Kelce would have been.
So, yeah, that's
who
a great
been, who
tweet.
Would have been the MVP in the Niners game? That's a great question. Who would have been the MVP in the Niners-Lions game?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy, for sure.
Brock Purdy, yeah. I'm just, like, looking over things again, but it would be Brock, without a doubt.
Okay, so you made a bet here.
I did make a couple bets.
We talked about earlier how the Chiefs have all the check marks if you just do it category by category, with the exception of one massive one.
I listened to a really smart guy on this show last week. It was me yelling into a camera, saying back at me about this whole Chiefs thing. Finally, finally got wrapped up in a kill. So, yeah, we did. We talked on Friday. Yeah, I wrapped them up in a teaser, teased the Niners down. So did get involved with the Chiefs side finally against the Ravens. And this was, I did make a couple bets, but really, really more about the numbers, because I was sitting there watching the openers and then watching how stuff was starting to move. I did grab plus 2.5 a little bit small. And then I did do a teaser, teased up the Chiefs and the total up to play under.
What did you get the Chiefs when you teased it at? What number?
That was it. So at that point, it had gotten to two. I bet the 2.5, and then it already come down to two. So I did tease up to 8. I didn't get to the 8.5, unfortunately, but did get up to 8 and then got up to 54 coming under on that. So
what you're thinking on the under?
If I'm liking the Chiefs side, if you're liking the Chiefs side, you have to love what that defense has done, and you have to believe that defense, in my opinion, is going to make some stops here, several stops against this Niners team. It can't just be Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I think the Niners are too good of a team that those two alone are not going to be able to get this done. So the defense has to play as good as it did yesterday, as well as it did yesterday, as well as it has basically this entire year, where it's been incredible. So that's the thinking. I think Chiefs and under are fairly correlated here.
Again, I have Niners to beat the Chiefs at 11-1. It's my surviving exacta. I can get off it, right? All I have to do is make a bet on the Chiefs and just
You know.
Yeah, which probably wouldn't be a bad call in your spot, especially since you grabbed those MVPs the other day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I can gamble with that and just...
Right,
and
yeah.
I haven't decided if I'm going to do it or not, but I have 2 weeks to think about it.
Well, and that was... So I made those two bets yesterday, but it was all because of I was watching the... I would have loved to like more time to think about it and, you know, for us to discuss it. But when those numbers started to move, and my initial lean was Kansas City anyways, it was, let me try to get the best of it because this might not come back. It could. It was only 2.5. We're talking down to 1. Who knows where this thing moves over the next 2 weeks, but I have a feeling it's probably stuck in between there.
Based on the Niners getting into a hole both against the Packers and the Lions these last two postseason weeks, I'm just going to say that the headline of any analysis on this game ought to be the Niners cannot afford to do that again.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, while we say this in the hockey postseason a lot, like in game sevens, we always say, whichever team scores first, that is such a massive advantage in a game seven of an NHL hockey playoff series. Obviously, it's a big advantage in any game, but specifically in the biggest game of them all in that series, it's a massive advantage. I feel like you can almost apply that to this game. Like if the Niners, the Ravens are the biggest example of this, right? A team that if they're front run, if they're ahead, they're one football team. And clearly when they fall behind, we see this time and time again with them, they just lose their identity. Yesterday, they lost their identity, as we talked about. I feel like with the Niners, who of course they came back from both games, and I choose to spin both as that's how good they are that they came out of those holes. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that shows you how flawed they are. Well, both things are kind of true. I feel like this is the game where they absolutely should probably make a point to get ahead here.
I'm with you. I think, and this is, I don't mean Patrick, I don't mean any blasphemy again here, but it does feel like the game. You don't want to get behind multiple scores in this game. Nope. If you're either side.
Either side.
I don't care who you are. Mahomes is awesome, but then again, you know, if he's down 14 points, do you have enough weapons? Is this offense going to really be able to click like that against a defense who's still good, who's much better, right, in a pass defense situation, too, instead of having defending that run?
Did a little Usher research last night, Kelly. Not going to flesh out the Usher research till later in the week.
Oh, yeah, we got Gatorade color to talk about, too. Give my whole Gatorade spiel as I do.
Oh, you got here. A Gatorade spiel coming?
Oh, yeah, always do. Didn't hit last year.
I haven't seen the Usher props yet, but I have narrowed down his set to about 6 jams.
Okay.
Can I call them jams?
Jams, yeah. Oh, wait, 2 more bets I didn't make yet, but I will be making, I think, at some point. Pacheco, the MVP. I'm not going to be, probably won't bet him MVP. We'll be betting over his rushing, though. We saw San Francisco struggling with that. We saw Kansas City keep going back to the well with that. I'll be betting over his rushing yards. And then any Kyle Juszczyk props, please post them because he's always matters this time.
Oh, they'll post them. Went to him a couple times yesterday. 2 great plays to Juszczyk yesterday by Purdy. Oh, your Purdy hate. Take it somewhere else. Mike Somich joins us next to talk about it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. You want more? We got more. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
That's ANG, folks, as in a numbers game. The show you are currently watching.
I'm sorry to step on you.
No, I'm going to keep cutting you off now, but I keep extending it.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, that's Kelly Midland. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Matt Brown's co-host. They are co-hosts on The Handle weekends here at VSiN. And the only reason I describe him as Matt Brown's co-host is because we have Matt every Friday. And when Matt learned that Mike Somich was joining us on Mondays, he threatened to never come on the show again. Mike Somich is here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. There's a little rift. I'm not going to lie. I was told I was cheating on him this weekend. Yeah. He wasn't too happy that I was going to be here on Monday. But here we are. We got to come through.
Listen. Just it's just how it is. Yeah. It is what it is.
We appreciate you. We appreciate having you.
Yes, that's, we do.
He'll get over it.
You know, Matt was a little peanut butter and jelly about that though last week. I'll tell you.
Matt's a funny one because you can never predict how he's going to react on certain things. All right, so we started talking about this off air. Let's just jump right into this about Dan Campbell, because the point that I was making for most of the 90 minutes of this show so far is we can debate the fourth downs, right? We can have a reasonable disagreement on the fourth downs. Analytics say it's the same win probability. Human beings who are anti-analytics say, yeah, but it doesn't capture momentum. I happen to think he should have gone up three scores when he had the opportunity. I happen to think he should have tied the game. But that doesn't mean that that is correct. It's just an opinion. What is objective as opposed to subjective is running on third down late. That, in not properly assessing that risk reward, and the risk happened, right? Montgomery stuff for a 2-yard loss. That's the part that is that you cannot debate. That was just wrong.
That was by far the largest gaffe from this Detroit coaching staff. And I have been a big Ben Johnson guy this whole year. I think he is a phenomenal offensive coordinator. I think everyone needs to remember he's the one who called that run play. And I realize that Dan Campbell could probably sit there and say, hey, why are we running the football? But that's not something I expect from Dan Campbell in that spot. And Ben Johnson was the one who decided to run the football. He calls all of Detroit's plays. And I'm bringing that up for the simple reason we've seen a lot of coordinators be phenomenal coordinators and awful with clock management. He is officially on the radar of he might be awful with clock management next year when he is a head coach somewhere.
Well, any minute now, he should be the head coach of the Washington Commodores. So I think that's coming down the line. I mean, I think that's the guy they've been obsessed with. That's the guy they were waiting for. And so I think Ben Johnson will be the Commanders' next head coach. I mean, you're right. He did call the play, but you would hope that Dan Campbell would have oversight, right?
You would hope that he would be aware enough in that situation to say, hey, guys, what are we doing? Why are we running the football? These timeouts are gold to us right now. The chances of getting an onside kick, phenomenally low. If you have all three timeouts, you can kick it deep. You have the opportunity to then be able to take those timeouts, try and get the football back. Or, you know, if you score the touchdown, you can still onside kick it. And if they get a field goal, you've got to go back and score a touchdown down six. Those three timeouts were as valuable as anything at that point in the football game for Detroit. I was screaming when they had first and goal from the 9. Every ball should be the end zone.
Yes.
Every single one.
They were way too casual.
Yeah, you've got this underneath route where you're lucky the guy gets out of bounds, and it's just like, no, you got to throw it to the end zone three times, kick the field goal if you don't get it, then kick it deep. And on the fourth downs, I agree with you. I think it is a lot subjective. My main issue with it, I actually thought the one when they were down three, they should have gone for it. Because at that point, I mean, momentum is completely on the other side. If you kick the field goal, you're going to give 5 minutes and two timeouts to a San Francisco offense that's marched up and down the field on the second half with you. My issue is the lack of consistency at the end of the first half and then the third quarter.
I brought that up, yeah.
Because if you go for it at the end of the first half, which, by the way, your reward significantly higher with a lower risk than that one that you went for early in the third quarter, because you go up 17. Okay, that's fine. You need to make that same decision when there's 5 minutes left in the third quarter to go back up 17.
I said the same thing. The counter to that point was, at the end of the first half, you're not pinning, in the second half. So the first half is a different assessment than it is the other ones. I view it your way. I view it as you went up three scores then, go up three scores now.
Well, and the issue with missing it, you have a San Francisco team that got the ball to half, goes down, kicks their field goal, right? Okay, so they cut it to 14. You essentially wipe out 80% of the third quarter if you kick a field goal there, and you take the fans out of the game. And that's the other part of it I don't think people were necessarily thinking about here is when they didn't make that, all of a sudden, that field goal that felt like a loss for San Francisco wasn't a loss because it's not back to a three-score game. And if you go for it there and you miss, the momentum swing and the crowd specifically in San Francisco all of a sudden becomes a factor.
Yeah.
Where if you kick the field goal, it's out.
Well, see, these are all subjective, debatable points.
Because
my thing with the one where they could have, by the way, nice job, Katie Bolter, 6-2, 6-2 over Jasmine. The one to tie, so I viewed it as the Niners had all this we're talking about the last fourth that they went for now. It's 27-24 Niners. The Niners had scored four drives in a row. they were going to get their fifth, which we didn't know yet. But I viewed it at that moment as their momentum had actually been stemmed because they had to settle for the field goal after that helmet to helmet on Purdy on the ground was not called. And so I fell. And then remember, Detroit had two chunk plays.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, boy, like, please. I'm as a Niners better, right, who had Niners bets and Niners exacta. I was like, please kick the, like,
take the three.
I'm worried that he'll take the three here. The three is the proper thing to do to tie the game. Now, no, it's not a gimme. It's 48-yard field goal.
Yeah.
It's Michael Badgley. We're not talking about Justin Tucker from 20 here.
78%.
Right? Okay, so it's not a gimme. But I did think that if they tied the game there, I was back to dying. Like, it was sphincter titan moment again, right? And so when he went for it, I'm just like, and that's when Kelly sends me the text, Dan Campbell, you beautiful bastard.
I think you laid it out perfectly. Yeah. We see these things through our bets, and I think it gives you a clearer vision of what you actually think is the right and wrong choice.
It's the truth serum of it all.
And what Mike said is absolutely right. You said at the beginning of the show, the consistency is probably the biggest problem I have, but that was, I was with you. Like, having a Niner money invested in the Niners, I was like, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to kick a field goal to tie this up here and try to quell that kind of momentum that the Niners had built up.
And in many, in many respects, you know, we talk about Dan Campbell because it's fun to talk about and we can go back and forth on it. In the end, and I don't know the answer, maybe it is the biggest reason. What was the biggest reason to you that the Lions lost that game? Was it those decisions, or was it Josh Reynolds dropping passes?
I think Dan Campbell gets an unfair amount of the blame. I mean, you got to put a lot of this on the players. Look, the Detroit defense outright stunk in the second half. Right. You have
which they have been stinking all this while.
Correct. But
yes,
as a head coach, you'd hope you'd fix that at some point.
Sure.
You know, maybe make it marginally better. If we're not going to make it great, just marginally better. Here's all we're looking for. And then, yeah, I mean, it's on the players as well. You had Purdy where you had a possible interception early in the game that was dropped. The long play where Ayuk catches it, that very well could have been an interception that ends up going for a long Ayuk pass play. Reynolds, it goes 1 for 4 with 3 drops. I mean, just as someone who had the Reynolds over, that was a little painful.
Oh, man, that he was. A disaster of that game.
Jeez. So I think the coaching staff gets an unfair amount of blame in this game. We'll talk about the next one in a second where I think there should be more blame on the coaching staff.
Dude, but I agree with that. And we started by talking about that too. I think someone asked me yesterday, I was on with Dave Ross and with Wes Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that either Dave or Wes asked me was, what was the biggest thing that surprised you in the whole day? And it was clearly the Baltimore game plan.
What are we doing?
Like, that's just off the charts bizarro.
3 running back runs after the 5-minute and 23-second point in the first quarter. 3 times running backs ran the football. This is one of the best rushing teams in the NFL.
They were only down 10.
It was never out of the realm of possibility they can come back. And this is the Chiefs' weakness. And you're missing Willie Gay. It made absolutely no sense that they weren't trying to just move the football on the ground. I get it. You want Lamar to get carries. He didn't even go over his carry prop. He had 8.
Right.
And I would guess, I haven't looked this up. I guess about half of those were scrambles. They weren't even designed runs.
Nothing was designed. That's what I was freaking out about, Mike.
It's like I came into this game thinking Baltimore tries to run the ball 35 times. That's their path to victory. And they ran it 13 or something crazy like that. It's like, what are we doing?
It was six designed. I want to get the exact number right because I keep getting messed up in my head. But the Ravens ended up with a grand total of 16 rushes, but 8 were Lamar. So only 8 rushes that weren't Lamar. 2 of those were to Zay Flowers. Only 6 designed runs to running backs.
Wow.
And by the way, they were, again, successful on those runs, and they abandoned
Gus
it.
Gus goes for 15 yards on his first touch. He gets one more before half.
And again, the Lamar ones, most of those were scramble bailouts, like we talked about earlier, get tackled by the shoelaces, go down after 4 yards. Like, nothing was designed for Lamar.
That's why I say, if you're a Lions fan, you're upset right now, but 2 days from now, you're going to be like, our future's great. If you're a Baltimore fan, I don't know what you say anymore.
This was it. That was the
chance. I don't know what you say. And this was the year that Burrow was hurt. Joe Burrow's coming back next year. That ain't fun. More with Mike Sombich on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN. VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter in today's newsletter.
How about Adam Burke with his early thoughts? And we had Johnny Avello on last night to talk about line movement in the upcoming game, Super Bowl, the one game that's left.
Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Since you bring up Adam Burke, because I think it's a great point he made yesterday. First of all, by the way, over your left shoulder, is the NBA had a great week. Like, Luka scored 73 the other night. This after Embiid had scored 70. But the Lakers beat the Warriors 145 to 144 in double overtime the other night. I didn't see the last second. Was that a legit foul on Draymond against LeBron?
Oh, man, I didn't see the last second either.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see the last second.
I just saw how it ended. Lakers end up winning in double overtime on a Draymond foul with 1 second left where LeBron hits two free throws. Curry had 46 in defeat. He's pretty good at basketball. All of Kelly's basketball picks again at VSiN.com/picks. All of my tennis as well. But Adam Burke texted me in the middle of the Ravens game yesterday. We were talking about how they abandoned the running game. And his frustration was, I don't know, I apologize to Adam if he didn't want me to say this, but his frustration mimics ours, which is, and Matt Brown does a great job of saying this. What is Matt's expression? The assumption of a proper game plan. He always talks about, he used to talk about that on Primetime Action, always. That when you're
just of us assuming coaches are going to go with a proper game plan.
When we're handicapping these games, at the root of this is you assume the coaches are going to do what they're supposed to do. Like, and obviously that doesn't happen every game world, but this yesterday with the Ravens was so off the charts bizarro that you just, like I was saying earlier, like I don't know if there was another game this year. We did guessing lines. We did every play. We tracked every play of every game in the entire NFL season and went through all the big ones on guessing lines of every game. I don't ever remember being this just gobsmacked by a game plan.
Well, Matt and I talk about this quite a bit on the handle. Coaches outthink themselves sometimes, especially when it's, you know, third and one, fourth and one, you're in the red zone. Andy Reid running an end around to Mecole Hardman last week. It's like, what are we doing? Just run Pacheco up the middle, man. Like, why are we doing this? It felt like the Ravens went full galaxy brain on the whole game plan. They're like, you know, we're gonna trick them. We're going to surprise them. We're going to come out. We're going to chuck the ball down the field. They're going to have a bunch of guys in the box. They won't know what hit them. Do what you're good at. Like, why try and make sure? I like the idea of having that as a backup game plan, having that in the game plan. But go out and see if, hey, we have a huge edge in this. Let's see if this works before we try and really flip the script. Why don't we force them to change versus changing on the fly to see if we can catch a weakness of theirs?
Let me read a couple of tweets and then I'll get to another big point that I want to make from a handicapping standpoint. J&J Watering Hole, to honestly answer your question, who was MVP in the Niners game if they had an MVP award for that? The truth is Dan Campbell, he says. Mr. B, I love this comment. He says, on the Zay play, on the big 51-yard catch and the taunting, nobody mentions he was wide open. The pass was late. Should have been an easy touchdown. Lamar, I'll say he...
That's very true. That's fair.
He's not a fan.
Not a fan. I won't read what it said. But it is very true. It was laid and underthrown, for sure. Dave Ross again. And one more. Jesse Welch. This is a great one. It was the Rams winning the Super Bowl where Aaron Donald was remarkable in the last 5 minutes of the game, but some ballots had already been submitted for Cup. I was doing that at the South Point. Were you on that broadcast on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think we were. Yeah.
I was convinced Aaron Donald was winning that MVP. Convinced. They're like, Cooper Kupp.
That's where we had to scramble to look up the timing rules and talk to people.
I was like, are you kidding me? Dave Ross, Wes Reynolds and I talked about this yesterday. Dave Ross brought it up, so I'll give him the credit, which is, I just think from like when we step back, now we have one game left, the championship games are behind us. Just from a macro handicapping standpoint, we all have gone through, as we do every year, this 18-week arc. I get it, 17 games, but 18 weeks of regular season football, and now the three previous weeks of the postseason. And we always talk about no team is as good as they are 1 week or as bad as they are 1 week. We all want to be cognizant of recency bias from week to week. But we were talking about yesterday, Dave slipped it in, and I said, let's not gloss over what he said, which is, I think we've gotten to the point now where the season is so long, we've added the 17th game, that we're going to see not only games where teams perform as outliers, but stretches of a season. And so when you look back at the Chiefs, I'll bring up that Raiders game again. The game where the Raiders blasted them, where Aiden O'Connell didn't even complete a pass after the first quarter, and the Chiefs still lost to the Raiders. And if you go to you yourself watching that game at that moment, you're like, oh, this Chiefs team that you think can't even play football, they're still going to make the Super Bowl, right? And the Niners, who lost three in a row in the middle of the season, they're still going to make the Super Bowl. Isn't that the biggest point of all of this? That, like, we have to really be aware of not only games, singular games, but stretches now where we can't be influenced by it.
You do. And you have to look at injuries as well. With the additional time that we've had in the season, you have players that go down and they'll miss 2-3 weeks, and you'll see those stretches amplified because of those players missing. And Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel both being out for that 3-game stretch. Trent missed 2, Deebo missed 3. That makes a big difference there. It's one of the reasons I make power rankings. Every year I start with my power rankings and I'll move teams up and down. I rarely will adjust a team more than 1.5. Occasionally it will be 2. But I trust my opinion overall that I'm not going to make these drastic changes to teams. And in certain cases, my adjustments are smaller than a lot of other people because I don't want to be biased of that last week, even the last 2 weeks, because you have to believe in what you're doing from the start to be able to move forward with it. So it's important to me that you don't over-adjust or overreact. And that's why, I mean, I talked about this. I've been higher on the Chiefs almost all year.
Yeah.
Because when I watch these games and you've got the drops and you've got this and that, yeah, you have to factor that in some way. But the team overall was still playing to expectation in all of those games.
This is with our weekly power rankings, how we tried to use them as guardrails also. It's why I wouldn't adjust the Lions too much higher than where I really had them. By the way, someone suggested I should read all the first half tweets that were sent my way yesterday in the Lions-Niners game. Just read them back on the show today.
I bet you did.
Where do you have the Lions rated now, Gil? So there's a whole bunch of that. So where do you stand on Super Bowl 58? Have you made bets?
I did. I bet the Chiefs plus 2.5. Shocker. I said last week I had the Chiefs in against the Dolphins. I had the Chiefs against the Bills. I had the Chiefs yesterday. I've got the Chiefs plus 2.5. We've seen the market correct. I made the game 1, so we're sitting on what I would make it. Now, that doesn't bring in any intangibles. I still think the Chiefs are the right side at 1 because I would much rather have Andy Reid than Kyle Shanahan. I would much rather have Patrick Mahomes than Brock Purdy. I think this is a Chiefs team that's been there before, and that I think has to factor into it when you're talking about this specific game. If this was week 7 on a neutral, I think this line is dead on. But since it's the Super Bowl, I would still lean toward the Chiefs. I also, and I'm not a big tease a total guy, but I tease the Chiefs up to 8.5 and the total under 54 because I do lean under in this game as well. We're sitting at 47.5. I would still lean toward the under on the 47.5. We've seen this Chiefs team be a more of an under team than an over team, especially when they get into a lead. I think they're going to have some success defensively. I'm probably going to be on McCaffrey rushing props because I do expect San Francisco to pound the football, and that is Kansas City's defensive weakness. So, hey, learn from what Baltimore did and maybe run the football a little bit here, San Francisco. So I like the Chiefs in this spot right now. I think we're going to see it close to pick 'em soon. I mean, because a lot of this 2.5 to 1 is professional money. It's not public money.
I think you're right. And I think it's going to be a pick 'em in the end.
When public money comes in, it's coming in on one side. And I'll tell you, it's going to be Taylor Swift's side.
Where do you... So December 25th, Christmas Day, was the day that I was talking about where the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell didn't even throw one complete forward pass after the first quarter. Remember, that was a game where, like, the Raiders put so much pressure on Mahomes without even blitzing. And the other times that they did have pressure on him, Mahomes would just sit in the back in the pocket, tapping the football, desperately looking for someone to get open. It was the same day that the Niners got crushed by the Ravens. What, after those two results on Christmas night, what would this line have been on a neutral that night?
Probably 6.
Niners by 6.
Somewhere right in that range, 6 or 7. I mean, because you're thinking about peak Niners powers and the lowest point for the Chiefs during the season. Look, the Niners and Baltimore both were rated extremely high at one point during this season, comparatively over the last 5 years in my power ranks. I had the Niners as the highest rated team in the last 5 years that I've ever had from a points perspective.
Yeah.
So it's a Niners team I respect quite a bit. But this is a Chiefs team that understands what they need to do. And it's a Chiefs team that has always been there. They've always been the sleeping giant. And when they get the opportunity to show up and show out, they've been able to do so here in the playoffs. And again, it comes down to a trust factor for me. And I'm not blindly saying I'm always going to take Mahomes. But unless the Chiefs are, like, if the Chiefs get up to -2.5, I'll play the Niners back.
But I think this is why this is so interesting, right? Because you just said it. Niners would have been 6-point favorites. We're talking about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I do the category by category, coaching. Check, Chiefs. Quarterback, check, Chiefs. Kicker, check, Chiefs. Defense, check, Chiefs. Like, when you do it that way, it's all Chiefs. So it's, this is what will make these next 2 weeks so fascinating.
Well, I think it's interesting, too. If you go back to week one, I would have the Chiefs laying one in this game.
Back in week one.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
So it depends on when we go back.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a great point. Yeah, you go full circle. Yeah.
Mike, great to see your Twitter again for everybody.
Somobomb18. SOMOBOMB18.
Somobomb!
Watch out. He's going to tackle you in a casino one day and just yell that out at
him. I got to do this to someone at Visa now. We got to get like a mat and have this happen.
Do it, Jeremy. Don't do it to me. All right, we won't tell Matt Brown you were here.
Deal? I appreciate it.
All right. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.